So with that, I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
The flag of the United States of America.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so good evening, everyone. We'll start the meeting off with roll call, and I see all three commissioners are present. Commissioner Bartholomew, how you doing, sir?
Good, thanks. How are you, Tommy?
Commissioner Glove, good, doing okay.
Present.
And having taken roll call, I would open the public portion of the meeting. Hearing no responses, I will open the public portion of the meeting for a second time. And third and last call for public portion. Is there anyone who would like to speak on the line? Okay, with that, we can close the public portion of the meeting. Additions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I have no additions, corrections. Anyone else? Mr. Bartholomew, any additions or corrections? No? Mr. Glode?
I have nothing.
Chief Narowski?
I have nothing.
And, Scott, Deputy Chief Todd? Okay, no response from him.
I don't think he has anything.
No, nothing.
Okay. I do see someone coming on the line. We have already closed the public portion, but I would ask if the commissioners would like to open the public portion for Alderman Wadomski, Alderwoman.
That's fine. If she has something to say, sure.
Sure. Alderwoman Wadomski, we are going back to public portion. So you can speak on any item on the agenda.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry, my computer was taking its time logging on in. So my name for the record, Sarah Wadomski, 95 Academy Hill Road, Alderwoman, First Ward. I just wanted to, discuss some old items. And discuss the speeding and accidents in that High Street, Sentinel Hill, Academy Hill Road area. First, I wanted to thank you guys for getting some of that signage up in the area of especially that intersection where there have been, the greatest number of accidents. But there's, still a concern with regards to the speeding on the straightaways leading up to that curve, especially on the, Academy Hill, Sentinel Hill, even in David Humphreys. I'm not sure if you're aware that I believe two Saturday nights ago, actually it was into Sunday morning, there was an accident on that Academy Hill straightaway, just a couple hundred feet from that curve. And so it is, still an area of concern. And, I know that the NVCOG study did, recommend increased police presence to really, curb the speeding. I know when I, was going around to neighbors, I think almost everyone offered their driveways up to house police vehicles. There was some concern about police vehicles, where to place them in these areas. I don't know if the commission has looked into that at all. The neighbors feel, defeated in that sense. And I really want to, show them that the commission is listening and, is looking to increase the safety in this area continually. And that's That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. I will reply for the commissioners. We have had the commission had the study from NVCOG. We have increased police presence in the area. Chief Narowski can give you dates, times, and every part of that. We've also added the flashing speeding signs randomly in the area. I can only say that we're confronted with 2021 traffic on a road that was built in probably 1950. We do not have a budget to redo that road to make it safer. Let's put it that way, to make it more conducive to traffic, let me say that. As far as speed traps, things like that, from experience, we know that's a very dangerous section of road to try to do that. There is no shoulder. There's nowhere to pull someone over without exposing an officer to closing an entire lane of that road. And on some of those curves, it's blind. So it's a safety risk. However, we as a group, as the commission group, have not given up on anything whatsoever to try to make that area safer. We are still pushing for more studies. I personally would like to see the Board of Aldermen take up the latter portion of the VCOG study, which would be basically asking the Board of Aldermen to empower a complete revamp of that road because it needs it, or at least the intersection that we're having all the problems with. That's going to be a lot of dollars. It may mean people losing property through eminent domain, but if you read the study, the last thing it said is that we need to take a major step to accomplish this. We haven't given up, and we're not going to give up making it as safe as we possibly can. That's what I know of what we've done as a commission. I'll ask Commissioner Bartholomew or Commissioner Guo to address anything that I may have missed.
Oh, I think you did a good job, Tommy.
Yeah, I think you captured everything.
Yeah, and again, I can absolutely say, Ms. Wadomski, we haven't given up on this issue by any way, shape, or form. We're going to continue it. We're going to do the best we can with it. But as I said, and I even mentioned to the mayor, there's infrastructure funds that are going to be coming from the federal government. I would love to see some of them come to that stretch of road. It's a major cut through from Sodom Lane on Route 34 to basically Route 115 at Division Street. And I think it's going to become even more congested when they start the Main Street project. So it's something that, you know, we really have to look at and see where we can find money to make some of these changes happen. Are there any, do you have any other questions, ma'am? I I don't know what else to say.
I don't have any other questions at this point. I mean, I haven't noticed the increased presence. I haven't seen any vehicles stopped or even, having a vehicle out to, when you're passing by a police vehicle on a road, I don't care if I'm doing the speed limit. My instinct is to step on the brake. I have not personally noticed it in the area, and that does not mean that, it hasn't happened, but, I'm also hearing it again from the neighbors that, besides the signage, and actually, I think there's still confusion. I didn't check today, but that 30 mile an hour sign adjacent to the 25 mile an hour sign, I'm not sure if that's been removed. But there's, there was confusion about that. It's a 25 up ahead, and then there's the 30 mile an hour right immediately after it, I believe. So if that hasn't been taken care of. I don't know if that's something that was being looked into. But, you know, beyond that, you know, again, there's that, there's the curve and that intersection, that's a problem, but the straightaways leading into it, that's where the speed is happening. That's where they're getting out of control into and out of the curve. And those are, you know, the next areas that, you know, may, like you said, maybe in another study looking at those, putting, you know, some of those speed traps up top on some of those straightaways to see, you know, we're not talking about 35, 40 miles an hour. It's well above that on the straightaways. And my concern for, you know, the neighbors, the pedestrians who are walking and, you know, in the general area, you know, I have concern for everyone's safety. No, you do too. I know you do too.
We do. There is no, unfortunately, sidewalk. And there's a very narrow road, which just, it feeds into the entire problem. As I said, that road really needs a major redo. I would hope as an alderwoman, you can bring that back to the Board of Aldermen.
Yes. And in the meantime, I would hope, you know, that given the road as it is, like what else can be done in the meantime? Because it's not getting, like the road's not getting revamped in the next year or two, right? So what can be done in the meantime? You know, like can we, you know, brainstorm to figure out what else can be done?
Get it. Yeah, we've had the study, we've taken the measures for the crosswalks, we've added the additional signage, the speed limit, the conflicting speed limits. That's actually two different roads coming together. That's Sentinel Hill coming together with Academy Hill, and the state of Connecticut sets the speed limits on both of those roads, and they are two different roads, even though no one ever thinks of it that way. Deputy Chief Todd, you know a little bit more about how the speed limits are set on the roads. Could you address that a little bit?
Well, I was just informed by the state last week. They went out and they looked at the speed limit on both of those roads. They denied our request to change the speed limit on either. They said the speed limits are appropriate and they will remain. And you are absolutely correct. Only the state can set a speed limit. And nothing we can do about that.
Okay, so again, Ms. Wadomski, we are pursuing every avenue that we can. And, you know, we get a no, we're going to take it another direction, and we're going to just continue. So I would ask for your patience, and I would ask for your cooperation in making the board aware that we are taking all the measures we can. And really, the next step is going to be up to the Board of Aldermen to, you know, make the road as safe as they can. We have limited abilities to do that, and we're doing everything we can. I'm sorry if I can't give you a concrete answer, but those are the things we have. If you have questions about the enforcement activities, I would ask you to direct them to the chief. Maybe you have a meeting with the chief so he can explain to you what enforcement activities have been taken and done up to this point.
I just want to interrupt for 1 second. I mean, we've been over this for probably 6 months in a row. There is no safe place to stop vehicles on that road. As a matter of fact, the department and the city were sued because we stopped the vehicle in an unsafe manner with no shoulder on that road. And it caused a motor vehicle accident where the operator of that vehicle was injured. That was the recipient of a infraction, and we were sued. So they basically put us on notice saying, this is not a safe area to stop cars. So even if we were to run radar in that area, We can't stop cars on that road. There is literally no shoulder. We didn't even have enough. We didn't have 6 inches on that road to paint a white line as a fog line on either side. So anytime, if you stop the bicycle on that road, it's in the travel portion. So it's an extreme hazard to not only the officer, but to the person we're actually stopping to, weighing an infraction versus, you know, the potential injury. So I just wanted to throw that out there right up front. Yeah, we do have extra people out in the area, but we're very limited as to what we can do. This is an engineering issue. That's what this comes down to.
So in the meantime, is there, you know, I mean, putting a police vehicle just to show presence and not without the intention of pulling over? Because
I mean, here's
alone is, you know, I have to believe will, you know, scare people into slowing down, just presence.
Understood. But the reality of what we have is the majority of the time we have two officers on the road. There's a car on one side of town and a car on the other. At times there'll be an extra vehicle. We are trying to spread ourselves based on the priority of the day. During the day, we're concerned with schools and school violence. We're having people sit in the cars and doing their reports rather than having to be on the road. When we have violent crime going on in areas, we target those areas. Unfortunately, our priorities change daily and hourly. And, you know, I keep giving people direction, but at that time, the only place we really have to sit is Whittick Park, which really is not a target area for either one because we're leaving the area of a stop sign that stops all traffic. So yeah, we are directing people, but I have very limited resources as to which to do that. We normally don't even, we're not even stressing enforcement of radar anywhere in the city at this point in time, because we're going, you know, to calls for service for more serious crimes.
At this point, I don't know what else we can talk about, ma'am. But we are on it and we're doing the best we can with it.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, not a problem. We'll always listen. And we are working. But as you know, there are limitations to what we can do. But I appreciate your input. Believe me, it's not going unheard. With that, I'd like to move on to the item that we were on, which was item 4, additions, corrections, and the adoption of the agenda.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda.
Okay, motion made.
I second it.
Second by Commissioner Glode. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay, I have read over the previous minutes of the August 9th meeting. I would entertain a motion to adopt those minutes.
I'll make that motion too, Tom.
Hey, Rich. Second, I'll second it.
I'll second Paul.
Okay, Mike, you'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Minutes have been adopted. Old business. I have no old business at this point in time. Either commissioner.
I do not.
Commissioner Glow.
One thing. We brought up the crossing over by the camp, and I'm trying to figure out if we have made any headway on that aspect of it. We said we had some money from the state or from UI to do a study, trying to see if there was any headway made on that study as yet. I know camp is over, but it'd be great if we could just continue the motion and trying to get something done over there. If I'm not mistaken, it was from the April or May meeting. That's when we made that.
Yeah, the deputy chief can comment on that.
Well, there's nothing to add. It is outside the realm of the police department. Yes, UI had a small amount of money they gave to the city, and as it's been put back in the lap of the city to come up with the extensive funds that would be needed to do anything up there. So it is no longer a police matter. Keeping in mind, it's a state road. There's nothing we can do without some extensive funding. And Then it involves legal aspects of getting right-of-way grants from the state, et cetera, et cetera. But the very first step is funds, and funds don't exist. So nothing more that the department is currently working on in that aspect.
I do know, though, that UI and the state are doing DOT is doing tree trimming, which was one of the things we had talked about last year. In clearing the sign access, sign visibility in that area. So I do know that DOT is doing that.
That's correct. They did clear trees, cut limbs. They did replace some signage, update the signage at the crosswalks. But they have no intention of doing anything further. They have put it right back on the city, and the city has discussed it, at least at the mayor's level. And to my knowledge, there's been no movement on it.
I believe Andrew Backlick is the point of contact on that. He's the one who procured that grant through UI. So they're trying to work it slowly, but it doesn't have any next step to it. That I don't even think that funding will, cover the traffic study. So they're working it on that end. We are participating with whatever we can do. We pulled somebody off of patrol because they had their annual dinner, and because they had it later in the season, daylight savings time affected it, so it was dark there. So we provided some traffic assistance, but we can't continue that or create that relationship to dedicate people for free to do that.
Thank you both for your response. I really appreciate it. I know it's out of our hands, so I just want to know if there was anything else done. Thank you.
Moving on to new business.
Mr. Chair, I do have a couple things just to update under old business. So as you're aware, we have our body-worn cameras. You saw the Board of Aldermen report that I forward to you as well. Body-worn cameras are in the procurement phase. We've ordered them, and we're basically at the manufacturer's beck and call. So when they get the delivery, then everything else starts in motion. So that project is still actively in progress. The second thing is I'm getting a little bit concerned with our capital budget. As you know, historically, and I've been doing this for a long time, our capital budget was pretty much developed and negotiated prior to the actual budget, and then just back funded by the Board of Apportionment and Taxation. This year, that capital budget wasn't approved for fiscal year 2021 until February of 21. We're just in the process of closing out 2021. There is no capital meeting set. We haven't even discussed. Normally things that are set in April and May haven't even been addressed as far as our vehicles. And we also are getting requests for a capital plan for 22-23 when we haven't even addressed 21-22. What this means to us realistically is that our vehicles are idling. We're using them more and more on our road jobs. We're being paid for that as a city from those private contractors. And we're having a large amount of breakdowns and warranty repairs. So in essence, what's happening is, although we're getting our annual capital plan for two vehicles funded, it's being stretched and stretched over a longer period. It's no longer over 12 months. It's over 18, maybe 19, maybe 20 months. So in essence, our vehicles are starting to age, and I'm just fearful that at some point in time, we're going to lose that edge, and we're going to have some major mechanical failures that are not under warranty anymore. So I wanted to just put the board on notice and let you know that our capital plan is not moving forward very fluidly. It's kind of stagnant right now.
With our hopes that we can get some action from it, I understand there are other departments in the same position we are, Chief. We are, if I'm not mistaken, we are down, we're actually due over the last 2 years, we're missing four cars that should have been replaced, four patrol cars?
No, what we did is, normally what happens is we're approved for capital sometime in April or May. The Board of Aldermen vote and approve that capital plan normally in July or June or July. and we go right out to bid and wait, because unlike a computer, when we find a we're trying to get vehicles, it may take us 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 months to get those vehicles, depending on what type of a custom order it is. So now if you delay the process yet another 10 months, then that puts us, you know, a year and a half, 2 years out on those vehicles. So we've just filled in a normal work cycle what should have been, we should have had the vehicles closed out sometime last November. We're just doing it this September. And we haven't even addressed the purchasing of vehicles that normally would have went out to bid in the previous, you know, in July. And now we're in September, we haven't even talked about it. So that's kind of where we are behind right now. We're staying on cycle, but our 12-month cycle for annual is now 18 months or longer. So I'm fearful that that's going to stretch and stretch and stretch to the point where we lose a cycle of cars. And if that happens, that's going to impact us mechanically. And it's not just the mileage. As you know, these are rough service vehicles, taxi service vehicles, and they run more than they ever ran in the past because they're on road jobs every day.
Okay. Heard and understood, Chief. And hopefully we can get capital moving. You had another item, Chief, for old business?
I think that was it for the for old business.
Okay. Moving on to new business. Anyone have anything under new business? I do not. Commissioner Bartholomew, Commissioner Gloat?
No, sir. I have not. I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. I'll close off that section of it. Department reports. Has everyone had a chance to review the reports that were sent out?
Yes.
Any questions on those reports?
Nope.
I saw the comparison of 2021 and 2020 department statistics, the budget. Chief, my only concern is with some of the folks we have out, how are we doing with overtime?
So this isn't going to accurately reflect our overtime. We've got a lot of projects in motion. So this guide is not applicable right now. We have two and potentially a third back-funded overtime grant opportunities that are coming up that are not going to be backfilled in any way. As you know, the alderman approved some of the pass-through money for the COVID relief. We have yet to see that. We haven't even requested it. So we're spending down our budget until we get to a point where we know what we spent, and then we're going to request that and backfill it. Same thing, there's a couple potential grant opportunities for wages coming from the state and for specific things that we applied for. So you're going to see this thing fluctuate, and you may see us overspent by 40 or 60% in the next few months, and then you're going to see it backfilled and we're underspent. So overtime is okay right now, but we're right on that edge. A lot of people aren't taking their time off. And like I said, we've got a lot of absences and you know, with the agreements that we've had in the past with COVID, we're eating that time. So either that time is going, those positions are going unfilled, or if minimum manpower is required, then we're backfilling them at overtime and not docking the individual officer. And, you know, that goes back to last year with the collective bargaining agreement and settling an MPP and labor action.
Okay. Any questions for the chief on any of the department reports, gentlemen?
I have none.
I have none.
Just as a side note on that, I know the Board of Aldermen was looking for some of this. As I had mentioned, we have tried several methods of forwarding on meaningful statistics, and without some type of interpretation, people draw their own conclusions and inferences. These things aren't really important. I know at some point people were requesting the number of arrests, and sometimes the periods weren't solid. They were 17 days versus 31 days. And then an arrest can reflect one individual with 17 charges or 17 individuals with one charge each. So a lot of this stuff is open to interpretation. So I think the easiest way to do this is I'm going to simply either enter a hyperlink to this report, or I'm just going to simply forward this report on to the Board of Aldermen as a supplemental information. I mean, it's public information. It's out there anyway. I answer to your board, and we might as well just forward this on. And if there's any other questions, I can answer those in person. So just that's just FYI background information.
Okay, it's appreciated, Chief. Any communications?
Jess, we don't have any communications, do we?
No, no communications.
Okay. Traffic Authority. We have one request submitted by the Hotchkiss Hose for their annual fund drives. October 30th and June 22nd of next year.
June 18th.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah. 22nd is the year, unfortunately.
I don't want to think of 22 already.
Exactly.
So I saw the report by Sergeant Bolton. I don't think it's an issue. I would look for a motion to approve their request.
I'll make a motion that we approve the request from Hotchkiss Hose to have their boot drives on the October 30th of this year and June 18th of next year, 2022.
Okay, motion made. Second. I'll make the second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So moved. Couple of things, Chief, and I know we're piling on tonight, but something I'm noticing more and more of, and it's just adding to the traffic woes, the intersection Route 8 and Main Street. Folks getting off northbound and trying to come to the intersection and take a left-hand turn onto Main Street. I'm seeing more and more, even on off rush hours, where people are completely blocking the lanes and stopping there. I don't know if we can talk to DOT and ask them to put a box there so that we can make people more aware of the fact that you're trying to squeeze one more car in there and you're sitting in the middle of traffic when the light turns green going the other way. That one I'll throw to Deputy Chief Todd and see if he can take a look at it and come back to us next month with some kind of an idea from DOT.
I vaguely remember that we had some conversation on don't block the box, but that intersection is a nightmare, and that's the best the engineers could do with it. I've had several conversations with DOT. I've been up in basically their headquarters, and I've complained about it. I don't like the striping there. Literally nobody stops. They think that right on red means 50 miles an hour right-hand turns are just fine, even if traffic's flowing next to you. It's like Mad Max and the Thunderdome going either way, either trying to turn onto onto Water Street. That whole area is going to be fixed at some point in time with the new roadway, but there's no plans to improve that intersection up further with Route 8. So I'm going to defer to the deputy if we had a don't block the box conversation, just if he has any information. If he doesn't, then maybe that's some conversation I had.
The only thing I can say is it took us nearly 3 years to get the DOT to agree to even install the signs that say do not block intersection. They had no interest in doing that, but our persistence got those signs. I don't know if we've had a discussion involving that particular intersection. We did have previous discussions with them about the block the box campaign after Milford did it on the Post Road. And I think we were dealing with Maine at Bridge at the time. And the state said that road does not comply with their requirements for a block the box campaign. So, I mean, I could have Sergeant Bolton reach out to him again, but I wouldn't expect that you would get anything out of that because it didn't work for them back then. I don't think it will now, but it's also very difficult to enforce that. There's a lot of that law about blocking. There's a lot of things that have to happen for that to occur. But yeah, we could have Sergeant Bolton reach out to him again, but I wouldn't expect any movement on their part.
Scott, if you could, at the same time, I mean, I had some discussions and people were slightly receptive, but it just died in committee there about their flashing lights. So when you have a red light, it has some flashing light that says, you know, you can take a right on red, but it's letting you know you have to stop first. I forgot exactly what they're called, but if we can take a look at having a couple of those installed at the same time while he's on there, I'm sure it'll be an equal no, but might as well kill two birds with one stone.
Yes.
I can't hurt to ask. So if we could, Deputy Chief, yeah. Let's ask Sergeant Todd or Sergeant Bolton to pursue those avenues and see if we can't at least get an ear. Somebody's ear and have them come down and take a look. There's one other item that came to me, and I had someone talk to me about it. And this one, I'm not sure, I don't know how to make sense of. When Sentinel Hill and the Derby Milford Road project was completed, crosswalk signs were put on the eastbound lane of 34 and the Derby Milford side of the westbound lane of 34. There are two crosswalk signs there. And there's a crosswalk, but there's nothing painted on the road. And I was told that if you push the button for the crosswalk, the lights turn green at Sentinel Hill and Derby Milford, but that doesn't prohibit people from taking a right on Derby Milford. And because there's no crosswalk there, people aren't paying attention to anyone trying to cross the road there. I know this intersection has been in, we've talked about this intersection before after they did their upgrade, but it doesn't make any sense to me that there's two crosswalk signs, there's no marked crosswalk, and it looks like it's buried in weeds. So maybe we can get a hold of DOT and find out what they can do to make that more visible so that we don't get a pedestrian struck, because this person was one who was crossing and said they were almost struck by a vehicle.
I'm just trying to look at the area real quick, because I don't recall if there's any crosswalks there. And I know that DOT has a habit of doing crosswalks to nowhere. They build a handicap accessible ramp, and then that's all it is. It's a pad to nothing. There's no sidewalks connecting. And if you were to actually get there with a wheelchair, there's nowhere to go. You'd have to walk into the woods. If you just give me a second, I'll do the best I can.
There are two what look like traffic lights with the crosswalk buttons attached to them.
I'm just trying to look at other existing intersections real quick. Yeah, so New Haven Avenue at Sodom has crosswalks. The subway, there's a crosswalk. There are no crosswalks at Grassy Hill. I'm just going to check. I don't know the date of this map, but yeah, I have the recent improvements. I don't know. We'll have to look into that. I know that when I was looking at crosswalks, I mean, you're talking about a crosswalk across 6 lanes of traffic. Normally, that's not done unless you have an area of refuge somewhere on a median. That may be an issue. I don't know, but we'd have to look into it. That's it's easy for me to say I don't know, but can look.
I understand, and I wasn't even aware of it until it was brought to my attention. And I went and took a look, and I was like, these are two traffic lights facing each other with crosswalk buttons on them. And like you said, there's no marked crosswalks. There's wheelchair accessible ramps to nowhere.
Yeah, I actually see them right now. So it's on the westbound side of the intersection, and that only crosses 4 lanes of traffic, but you literally have 2 concrete pads that go nowhere with no adjoining sidewalk.
Yeah. If we can I know we've talked about this intersection, but if we can put that on Sergeant Bolton's list of things to talk to DOT about, I'd appreciate it. Because like I said, someone I know who came to me completely out of the blue said they almost got hit by a car trying to cross at a crosswalk. And I wasn't even aware there was a crosswalk there. So that's okay, Chief. We'll add it to the list.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's all I have. Commissioner Bartholomew?
I don't have anything else.
You've been dealing with the Crescent High Street situation. Has there been any improvements there?
Gilbert Street.
Gilbert.
Yeah. So right after our meeting, the Public Works came and painted the lines again. And then, of course, the day after, then the water company dug up part of it because they had to fix something in the ground for the fourth time. And I've called probably three or four times, and the police come right over and the people move the car. So, and it hasn't been anybody in the last 2 weeks parking there. So it definitely helped out.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, and they put the third sign up too, in case.
Oh, good. Okay.
Chief Todd's on there because he said it was back in 2007. He put the letter out when he was a lieutenant, and they put the third no parking sign up there. So far, so good.
Okay, sounds good. Commissioner Gwode, anything else for LTA?
Nothing from me.
All right. With that, we've come to adjournment.
Motion for adjournment.
Second.
Bartholomew, second by Claude.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So moved. Thank you, everyone, for spending your evening with us.
All right. Thanks. I'll see you later, everybody.
Bye.